Morning.
Today's daf in Tvachim is Ayin Zayin, 77. We are on Ayin Vav Amud Beis. We're at the top of the Amud. We got to finish up yesterday's sugya. It brings us to the Mishnah on Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph, and then we continue discussing Tarovis. Our perek has been a discussion of Tarovis, of what happens when Kabranas get mixed one with another. That's the opening. The opening Mishnah gave us a number of scenarios and a number of solutions in terms of what happens when mixtures get mixed up one with another. And it obviously allowed us to talk about bittul, nullification, and various reasons why bittul gets blocked. In the previous Mishnah on Ayin Ham and Beis, which we did a couple days ago, yesterday's daf, so the Mishnah described a scenario in which you have a carbon ashram that gets mixed together with a carbon shlamim. So in other words, these two animals get mixed one with another. Ashram is coming from a male animal. Shlamim could be either male or female. Obviously, this particular animal is male. That explains the mix-up. So what happens under those circumstances? So you have a basic machlokus amongst the Tanayim in terms of whether or not maybe what we should do is we should treat everything like a carbon ashram, both the ashram and the shlamim. So treat it like a carbon ashram. And then maybe what we'll do then is we'll just simply give it all the stringencies of a carbon ashram, where it's to be shechted, how the blood is to be applied, although it's the same, where it's to be shechted, where it's to be eaten, who can eat it. So we're going to give it all the stringencies of a carbon ashram. And although there's a downside to that, which is that for the carbon shlamim now, it's going to result in early termination for the shlamim. Shlamim can be eaten for 2 days. Now we're only going to be eating it for 1 day. But maybe that's a solution. In fact, maybe that's a solution. That's the solution that Rabbi Shimon, in fact, advocates. That's what we saw back in the Mishnah. The Chachamim don't agree, and the Chachamim say no. Anytime that the solution is going to involve early termination, the Chachamim say we don't like that solution, meaning we just simply don't want any carbon to be limited. And a limitation of the carbon, both in terms of time and space, meaning, right, yesterday we talked about various examples of termination, of either now you're constricting it in terms of time or you're constricting in terms of space, so the Chachamim don't want to be involved in any kind of solution like that, and so the Chachamim simply disagree. What do you do then under those circumstances? Chachamim go back to a maneuver that we talked about in the beginning of the parak. What you do is you allow these animals to graze, develop a blemish, you then have the ability to redeem each of the animals, and now you can take the monies and apply to, for the ashram, you'll buy a new ashram, and for the shlamim, you'll buy a new shlamim, and that will be the solution according to the Chachamim. That is all what we learned yesterday in yesterday's daf. The question that we dealt with yesterday is according to Rabbi Shimon, who does allow for a solution to include early termination. So does that mean lechatchila or only b'di'evit? That was the question the Gemara asked yesterday, and the response to that was, it's unclear. But we did offer a lot of Mishnahs yesterday that seemed to indicate that even lechatchila Rabbi Shimon would advocate such a position. That a solution, even though it may involve early termination, but Rabbi Shimon was comfortable that with that afilu lechatchila, even a priori. That is, that's the indication that the Mishnahs gave us yesterday. That's what we saw yesterday. In the course of the discussion yesterday, so we quoted a Mishnah. Mishnah comes up a number of times throughout Shas. I'm not espousing Bekius right now. I'm just reading on the page of the Gemara. This Gemara is here in Zvachim. It's in Nazir. It's in Menachos. It's in Nida. So this case comes up numerous times throughout Shas, and it's the case in which somebody may or may not be a Mitzora. Meaning he had something. He went to a Kohen. The Kohen rendered a decision, but it was not a conclusive decision, and so therefore he may or may not be a Mitzora. The worst state to be in is in the state of Suffolk. Right? In other words, I have a number of physicians over here in the room, Baruch Hashem. So in other words, if you give a clear diagnostic in terms of what's going on, so, you know, may not be happy with what you're saying, but at least you're telling them exactly what they have. But you may have,
it's a tough one in the Masura case, because Masura case, there is a prescribed thing when you're adult what to do.
Correct.
In the Chumash it says exactly.
Right.
So if it goes through that, then how could it be done?
All right, fine. So I said the same thing yesterday, as I want to say right now. Without going into details of how we get to the state of being a Suffolk, but the person's a Suffolk. And so now, in terms of the carbonos, it's a bit tricky. And when I say a bit tricky, I mean that's what we started discussing yesterday, and now we're going to conclude today. It's going to be a bit tricky because now, if he's a mitzvah, so then the Torah gives a very clear prescription, like you say. The Torah gives a very clear prescription of what you are to do in order to receive a tahara in order to be purified. On the other hand, if he's not a mitzara, so then he's not obligated in any of these karbanos, and these karbanos are not only not needed, but you can't bring these karbanos. Meaning, one of the karbanos that are brought are karban ashram, you can only bring a karban ashram if required. So what do you do? What does this person do? So, as we discussed yesterday, as far as the animal is concerned, so the animal is actually easy. Because what we'll do with the karban ashram is we'll bring it out tonight. We'll bring it on a condition. If in the event that he is in fact, a mitzara, so then they will treat this like a karban ashram. And if in the event he is not a mitzara, we'll just simply earmark the animal as a karban shlamim. Now, obviously, this animal is going to be treated both like an ashram and like a shlamim. And again, what we're going to do is we're going to just treat it with the stringencies of a karban ashram. Now, all this, again, spoke to the idea that Rabbi Shimon even allows this even from a perspective of lechatchila. But if you remember, we also pointed out yesterday, but I'll just simply reiterate, this is not a great proof. Because over here, there's a counter pressure. What is the counter pressure over here? We want to help this guy. Meaning, this is not just a case where, oh, it's a mixture, let's figure out what to do. This is a case in which somebody needs a tahara. So if somebody needs a tahara, so even though the solution to the problem is going to involve early termination, but okay, but he needs a tahara. So there's counter pressure over here. So as we pointed out in yesterday's daf, this is not a great case to show whether or not Rabbi Shimon would advocate this lichatchila or only b'di'evin. Okay, so as far as the animal is concerned, so that part was easy, or I should say better, easier. The part that's hard, the part that's complicated, which we started yesterday, but this is where we're going to pick it up right now, and we're going to start an Ayin Vav Amud base, and we're going to start towards the top of the Amud, and we're going to talk now about the oil. A mitzara brings in a log shemen, he brings in a quantity of oil, log is a quantity, he brings in log shemen, and then what happens is as follows, the Kohen takes the oil, pours it into takes some of the oil, pours it into his hand, takes his right thumb, applies it to into the oil, and then applies it to the mitzara, to the mitzara's earlobe, and right thumb, and right toe, and that is the process regarding the oil. What happens with the remainder of the oil? It is given over to the Kohanim, and the Kohanim can enjoy it, meaning it's part of the Matnas Kahuna. And the Kohanim can add it to a salad, right? In other words, and the Kohanim will enjoy the rest of that oil. So here now, with this oil that is going to be used for the Mitzorah, so now remember, he may or may not be a Mitzorah. So what we're going to have to keep doing throughout this discussion is we're going to have to entertain both sides of this possibility. What if he is a Mitzorah and what if he isn't a Mitzorah? So let's see all this inside. In the Gemara, we're on Ayin Vav Amud Beis. Hatenach Asham, four lines down, last words in the line. Hatenach Asham, the Gemara says, this is great regarding the carbon Asham, meaning the way we just described earlier, that we'll treat the Asham like either like an Asham or like a Shlamim. However, Log Ma'ikal Member, but what are we going to do regarding the oil? The Amar Log Zeh Yehi Nedava. So the Gemara says like this. Well, once again, the oil will be brought in conditionally. And we'll say, look, if the oil is needed if he's a Mitzara, so then the oil will be used like Mitzara oil. But if he's not a Mitzara, so then what we'll do is we'll treat this oil like an adava, like a gift, meaning like a voluntary offering. We're going to learn later in the Masech that there are opinions that there are those who are of the opinion that oil could be brought as simply an independent carbon. It's unusual. In other words, it's not what you and I would call a regular carbon. But in other words, what you could do is you could take oil and just simply offer it as a carbon, and you treat it like a mincha. And that you take a kamitza, you take a fistful of the oil, put it up on top of the mizbech, burn on top of the mizbech, and the remainder of the oil, the shirayim, are going to be consumed by the kohanim, zichrei kohuna in the azara. So this is the Gemara's now is a suggested solution is that we are going to either treat the oil like mitzora oil or treat the oil like nedava oil. So now here's where it gets a little complicated. V'dilma lav mitzara hu by mekamitz. The Gemara says, okay, but we have to always play both sides of the possibilities. Either he is or he's not a mitzara. If he's not a mitzara, and this oil is nedava oil, so then you need to take off a kamitza. So the Gemara says to mekamitz. So the Gemara says, okay, you need to take off a kamitza. Fine, we're game. We'll take off a kamitza. Now, as I already mentioned yesterday, but I just want to reiterate, kamitza of oil is tricky. In other words, when you're talking about a flour offering, so those are particles of solid. So you take your hand, you put it in, and you take out a fistful of the flour. When we're talking about oil, you put your hand in, you take out the oil, and the oil is going to run off your hands. Okay.
Do the same thing? Do the same thing like this?
Fistful. So the oil is just going to simply run off your hands.
That'd be the two fingers.
Okay, fine. Okay. And there are there are suggestions that are given outside of the Gemara by the Rishonim, but okay, right now I don't. Let's just say we take off a kamitza. Now, so far so good. So here right now with this oil, so we have taken off a kamitza because again the possibility is he's not a mitzora and therefore it's a nedava and therefore he's taking off a kamitza. That's wonderful. The dilma mitzora who ubay man sheva. So the Gemara says okay, but in other words we have to take the other possibility, which is in fact he's a mitzora, and we know that with this oil of the mitzora, in addition to application to the actual mitzora itself, it's sprinkled in the direction of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's sprinkled in that direction 7 times. So I need sprinkling. So the Gemara says, Diyahi. The Gemara says, okay. So you sprinkled. So the Gemara says, Vahach Chasole. So the Gemara says, okay. But in other words, once you do sprinkling, so then you don't have a full log. And Rashi over here says very clearly, and the Torah says very clearly, that in other words, when you are bringing a log to the Mitzvah, you need a full quantity of log. So if you're sprinkling 7 times in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash, in the direction of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so you're simply going to you're going to be depleted. You're not going to have the full log. The Gemara says, "Demaisi porta umailele detnan chaser halog ashalo yitzak yimaleno." So the Gemara says, "Okay, so after you sprinkle it, so you just simply you top it off again and you fill it back up to a log." So the Gemara says, "That's not a problem." So the Gemara says, "Vahai baya haktara." The Gemara says, "Okay, now we're going to just bounce back to the other possibility that he's not a mitzora." Well, if he's not a mitzora, so you know what you do once you take off the kamitza? You take off the kamitza and you burn it on the top of the mizbech. So the Gemara says, to Akterle. The Gemara says, fine. So in other words, you take off the kamitza and you burn it on top of the mizbech. Amos. So the Gemara says, well, wait 1 second. Okay. So the Gemara says, now, when exactly is this going to be done? Meaning, when am I burning the kamitza? Ibasamat nosheva. The Gemara says, well, am I going to burn the kamitza after I sprinkle 7 times? So the Gemara says, havelu shirayim shechashru ben kamitza la'aktar ve'ein maktir nesakamitz aleihem. So the Gemara says, well, then we're going to run into the following problem. Now, all this is technical, understandably, but these are the rules. When a kohen takes off a kamitz from any mincha, now again, over here, this oil is going to be treated like a mincha. So I use the word mincha. In this Gemara, just simply take the word mincha and replace it with oil. It's one and the same. So whenever a kohen takes off the kamitz from a mincha, the remaining of the mincha is called shirayim, like leftovers. And the shirayim are generally eaten by the kohanim. The notable exception is that if the mincha is offered by a kohen himself. But the shirayim are eaten by a kohen. You can only burn the kamitz if you have all the shirayim intact. However, as a rule, Rashi says it's based on Pesukim, it's a drasha. As a rule, if after you take off the kamitz, you lost any of the shirayim, so then you can't burn the kamitz. So over here, the Gemara says, so let's think this through. I've taken off the kamitz of oil, and now what we're going to do, we're going to sprinkle 7 times in the direction of the parochas. Now we have diminished the shirayim, which means now that I can't burn the kamitz. Okay, so the Gemara says, fine. Ikodem mat nosheva, but the Gemara says, but then, obviously the other possibility is, okay, so I'll burn the kamitza, and then I'll sprinkle 7 times. The Gemara says, that's also a problem. Because kol shem imenu li'ishim, harehu bebal taktiru. You see, once I burn the kamitza, the remaining of the oil, again, this is a mincha, so we're treating it like a mincha. The remaining of the mincha is what halachically is called shirayim. Shirayim are earmarked. They're dedicated for and only for consumption by the Kohanim. None of that can ever be used again for any avoda subsequent. So over here now, once I do the kamitza of the oil, so then everything now is earmarked to shirayim, and I can't sprinkle 7 times from any of this oil to the mizbeach. That is tantamount to doing an avoda with the shirayim. And you can't do avoda with the shirayim. So we're a little bit stuck. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Yehuda Bered, Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Demasik Lul Hashem Eitzim." So the Gemara says, "Okay, so what you'll do is you'll sprinkle it, but with the intent of sprinkling it as wood on the fire." Now, that's a funny expression because we're talking about oil and we're talking about sprinkling in the direction of the paroches. What we mean by that is simply we're going to treat it like we are sprinkling non-carbon. Ditanya, the Gemara Kriya quotes a Brisa, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Lerech Nichochi Atamala Va'atamala Lashem Eitzim. This actually is going to segue beautifully into the next part of today's daf, which we're going to see in just a moment, is that according to Rabbi Eliezer, even if I have something that shouldn't go onto the Mizbeach, what I can do is I can put it on the Mizbeach not as an offering, but I can basically treat it like fuel on the fire. I'll explain that better later this morning. So in other words, that is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Over here, we'll do the same thing. Meaning, we'll burn the kometz, we'll have shirayim. I know I can't do avoda with the shirayim. I'll sprinkle it with the intent that, you know what, this is just basically like sprinkling water. Okay. No, yeah. Wait, just give me 1 second. Va'ika shirayim. I'm sorry. Va'ika shirayim debay malinu. V'ika hachporta delo kamit. I'm sorry. Sorry. Let's do that again. Va'ika shirayim debaye. The Gemara says, okay. But in other words, so now what you've done is you've taken away some of the shirayim. So the Gemara says, malinu. So the Gemara says, okay, so what you're going to do is now, once again, you're going to top it off. V'ika hachporta delo kamitz ilave. So the Gemara says, okay, but when I top it off, so what's going to happen now is that that oil that I used to get it back up to the point of being a log, so the problem now is that that extra oil that I added, that was, that's unkomitzed oil. Now, I know that sounds funny, but if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. Meaning that in order to have shirayim, you need to take off a komitz in order to have the shirayim. So I took off the komitz the first time around, meaning we had a full log of shemen, and then I took off a komitz the first time around, and now we took the shirayim we sprinkled, but now I need to replenish, so I top it off, but because now I replenished it with new oils, so that oils have not been komitzed against. And so now you have uncomitzed oil in which I topped it off. So the Gemara says, deparikle. So the Gemara says, okay, but that oil that I introduced does not have Kedusha Seguf, it only has Kedusha Damim. And so therefore, what I could do is I could simply redeem it. So deparikle hecha, the Gemara says, where am I redeeming it? E gavai, if I'm.
What's the point of redeeming it?
I'm redeeming that extra oil because.
What's the point of doing that?
What's the point of doing it? Because otherwise it is considered shirayim where it's not shirayim, meaning it there was no komitz that was drawn against it.
What I'm accomplishing
is that I needed to top it off because I needed that full log. So the
Let me just first finish each step
and then I'll come back and I'll try to explain it even better. So the Gemara says, where am I going to redeem it? Igavai, if I'm redeeming it in the Azara, Kamayel Chun LaAzara. So then what's going to be happening is that I'm redeeming something in the Azara, and now it turns out that once it's redeemed, that little extra oil that I topped off with, so now I'm going to have non-sanctified oil in the Azara. And Iavrai, if I take that oil outside, that's even worse, if Soleil Biyotze. So that oil now is going to be disqualified because this oil now, again, we're treating it as possibly Nedava, which means that it's Kodesh Kadashim, which means that it is limited to only being consumed in the Azara. Once I take it out of the Azara, it becomes disqualified through the Psul of Yotzei. So the Gemara says, La'olam Gavai. So the Gemara says the redemption of it will occur inside. V'chulen mi meila havyan. So the Gemara says, now it's true that once it's redeemed, that oil is going to be considered chulen. V'ham Rabbi Shimon, I'm sorry, v'chulen mi meila havyan. And yes, it's true that that little bit of oil that I redeemed now is going to be chulin. And yes, it's true it's inside the Azara. But no, it's not a problem because the problem is bringing chulin into the Azara. Over here, it just happens to be that you have chulin in the Azara, and that's not a violation of the Torah. The violation of the Torah is to introduce chulin into the Azara. Okay. At this point in time, let me just.
How did you get into the Azara if it's not introduced? How did you get into it?
When you introduce into the Azara, you are makdish it, you sanctified it, but it only has Kedushas Damim, it doesn't have Kedushas Aguf, allows you to redeem it, but it's redeemed now, now it's chulin the Azara, but the Gemara says, okay, but when it was brought in as Kedusha. Let me go step by step now in terms of what basically the Gemara has now suggested with the oil. I have it mapped out over here in terms of what we're going to be doing now with this oil. Again, the dilemma is that the oil itself is going to be treated as one of two possibilities. Either one, he's a mitzara, which means that I need the oil to be sprinkled 7 times in the mizbech, applied to the mitzara. So in other words, this I need an application from the oil, and on the other hand, he may not be a mitzara, and therefore I'm going to treat the oil like a nedava. So in both of those circumstances, in other words, there is some form of application, and then the remainder is going to be eaten by the kohen. But the problem, of course, is procedurally, how do we go forward? So here's basically what the Gemara just mapped out. And I'm going to go sequentially. First, what you're going to do is you're going to get a full log of shemen. Then what you're going to do is you're going to take off the kemitza on the chance that's in a dava. And then you are going to take off the komitz. You're going to burn the komitz. Then what you're going to do is you're going to refill it to back to a log, because we're about to do the application, and I can only do an application from what was a full log. The problem is that whatever I use to top it off right now is in other words, I from a nedava standpoint, there was no komitz taken against it, and so therefore it's unkomitzed oil. So vis-a-vis that, before we get to that, then what we're going to do is we're going to sprinkle it in the direction of the parochah 7 times. We're going to apply to our mitzvah. Okay, now I'll ask the question, what about the fact now that I have uncomitzed oil in the mixture? So to that, the Gemara says, what you're going to do with that little amount of oil is you're simply going to redeem it, meaning it only had Kedushas Damim, it did not have Kedushas Aguf. You're simply going to be redeeming it. It's chulin in the Azara. Once you redeem it, the Gemara says, okay. But in other words, you didn't bring it into the Azara, it just simply was already in the Azara.
Two questions. One, when you say a log of oil, can it not be a little more like a chatzkila being more rather than adding
it? It's an interesting suggestion.
Hedy was
asking, why not start off with more? And so that means that I know that even after the comments is removed, so then I'll have a remainder of one log. So interesting suggestion.
In general, when there is a measure for everything, like wine and so on, S has to be exact.
Yeah, right, more? Correct. In other words, it's not the Torah is not giving minimums. The Torah is giving amounts.
Exact. So it cannot be 1.2 log. It has to be one.
That's my impression.
Okay, now the other question is regarding Rabbi Eliezer, who says, just put it on as a wood. What about your kavana? I mean, the whole thing's about kavana. If you don't have the kavana,
all right. So stay tuned. In other words, the Gemara is going to discuss a little bit more later on today. Although I don't want to oversell it. Meaning, it's based on gzeiras hakasuv. Meaning, he's going to darshan out from psukim. He's not going to give a svar in the matter. But in other words, we'll see the drashas later on this morning.
And then the rest of the oil that's there, they have to eat it
in the azara.
So all of a sudden, they have to eat it one log of oil.
In other words, right? Another salad dressing. Salad dressing.
So if you have so many masoras coming, they have to.
Okay, that's it.
They have to finish it, huh?
That's a pragmatic issue. I mean, which is it's not, but fine.
I'm gonna have the idea.
Okay, could be. Now, Vahama Rabbi Shimon Amos Nav Neshem. Now, the Gemara says all this is well and good, but we are now all providing a solution that was given to us by Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara says, and it's not a minor detail that Rabbi Shimon happens to be of the opinion that oil cannot be offered as an independent carbon. Mm. So all this is wonderful, but this is all working within the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, and it also happens to be that, according to Rabbi Shimon, this doesn't work, because oil is not brought as an independent carbon, to which the Gemara says, Tikkuni Gavra Shani. The Gemara says, okay, but yeah, that's Rabbi Shimon in general. Over here, once again, we're going to reiterate what we said earlier, and that is that there is a counter pressure. Over here, we have a guy who is possibly a Mitzorah, and because of that state of possibly being a Mitzorah, so therefore he's in a precarious situation. We want to help him out. So therefore, things that normally we would not do vis-a-vis the Beis HaMikdash and Karbon, we're going to be more flexible over here in order to help the person out. And the Gemara says because of that, even Rabbi Shimon, who generally says you do not bring oil as an Adava, over here would advocate such a position. Yosef Rav Rechumi Kamed Ravina V'Yosef Kamed Mishmei De Rav Huna Bar Tachlifa V'Neima Asham Zeyei Shem Taloi. So the Gemara says, let's go back to yesterday's daf, and let's go back to what was proposed yesterday vis-a-vis the animal. Now, the animal was really simple. What we said regarding the animal is that we're going to take the animal, and again, he may or may not be a Mitzara. If he's a Mitzara, we'll treat the animal like a Karban Asham. If he's not a Mitzara, we'll treat the animal like a Karban Shlamim. Albeit, of course, that we're going to be strict regarding the rules of Karban Asham. But in other words, we'll just simply say that the animal is a Karban Shlamim. The Gemara over here says, could we not have proposed something even better? And that is, look, if he's a Mitzara, it's a Mitzara Asham. And if he's not a Mitzara, so let him bring this as an Asham Talui. We learn together, and we're going to learn this in much greater detail when we get to Masechta Krisus. And Asham Talui is brought by a person who possibly violated an Avera of the Torah, specifically a Karis Avera. A person may or may not have eaten Chalef. So under those circumstances, he brings what's called an Asham Talui. We'll talk more about it in Masechta Krisus. There is an opinion out there that says that even if, let's say, you're really unsure as to whether or not you violated the Avera, you still have an allowance to bring a Karban Asham Talui. So over here, the Gemara says, why don't we say like this? If he's a Mitzara, Asham Mitzara. And if he's not a Mitzara, let him just simply call an Asham Talui. That's much better than saying Asham versus Shlamim. Asham versus Shlamim, meaning a Shlamim, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be significantly reducing the time that you can eat shlamim. Shlamim is eaten 2 days. Now we can only eat 1 day. Over here, if I treat it like an Asham Mitzor and an Asham Talui, so that's much better. The Gemara says, Shema Minah, Man Tana de Palagala de Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon Yidamar, Ein Mitznah de Asham Talui. So the Gemara's first response to this is, oh. But in other words, the question is only predicated on the fact that you can donate, almost, donate an Asham Talui. But the Gemara says, but Rabbi Shimon obviously doesn't subscribe to that viewpoint, meaning Rabbi Shimon must be of the opinion that the only time that a person brings an Asham Talui is where there was a real doubt that he violated an Aver in the Torah. So for example, he ate a piece of fat and he was not sure whether the fat was Shuman or whether it was Chalef. Then and only then could you bring an Asham Talui. But just because you wake up in the morning and you are now suffering from a little bit of anxiety and a little bit of guilt, and maybe I violated the Torah, so Rabbi Shimon says you do not have the right to bring an Asham Talui. Now again, Rabbi Eliezer, the Gemara just quoted, Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. Rabbi Eliezer says that a person can bring an Asham Talui every single day. You wake up in the morning and you're feeling a little guilt, you bring an Asham Talui. That's good. In other words, it'll reduce the anxiety. It'll assuage you. Wait, give me just one moment. So this is one possibility in terms of why the Gemara says that this wouldn't be a good suggestion. The Gemara says, Amar Lei Torah Torah. So he said, the response was, wow, I can't believe that you are espousing this viewpoint. Torah Torah is an expression, meaning this is the Torah of a man as great as you. So Imre Bedirchei Machlefalach. What you did is you confused your sheeps and your rams. You confuse your sheeps and your rams. Now, the Rashi explains that, and over here, you just simply have to know that even though the Asham Talui and the Asham Mitzorah are both carbon Ashams, and they're both coming from male animals, but the age is different for the two of them, right? The Asham Mitzorah, Keves Ben Shnato. The Torah says that when it comes to the Asham of a Mitzorah, so it has to be a sheep, and it has to be a sheep within its first year. What in the Torah is described as a keves, or a kevish, right? A sheep. What we would say in English, sheep, but male. How Asham ben, but meanwhile, when it comes to a Asham Talu comes from a ram, meaning a two-year-old. When I say two-year-old, whenever we talk about carbon, we mean within the second year. So in other words, that's funny. How can you possibly describe this animal as either being an Asham Mitzorah or an Asham Talui? Asham Mitzorah comes from a one-year-old or within 1 year. Asham Talui comes from a two-year-old, meaning within the second year.
But also, Talui has to be a minimum amount for it.
Same thing is true with Asham Mitzorah. Every Asham when purchased has to be purchased for a minimum amount. And in that regard, they're the same. But in terms of the years, they're different.
Asham Talui is... Asham Talui, if somebody brings to, there's an action or something that happened to him, because Mitzorah happens to him. He's not active in doing something.
And Asham Talui, again, the simple...
Is that something actively done wrong?
The simple explanation of Asham Talui is a person did something.
Did something.
But he's not sure whether what he did was either an aver or not an aver. He ate a piece of fat.
It's a subject, it's not object.
And so now, was that fat permitted fat? Was it Shuman or was it Chalev? He wasn't sure. And we'll see increases. We'll see much more about the Asham Talui. I'm sure there is. I myself don't have one to offer, but I'm sure there's an explanation. Okay, we're continuing now. We're on the Mishnah on Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph.
Rabbi Shimon or Rabbi Chacham in this
period? But again, over here, we're meaning this is Rabbi Shimon in terms of what to do with the Mitzorah. That's
yeah, but in general, the point of Chacham says you cannot.
Oh, right. The general position is Ein Mivim Kashan LeBeis HaPsul, that you do not. We don't subscribe to the Rabbi Shimon rule of reducing creating early termination of any carbon. Mm-hmm. In other words, if a solution involves that, so we avoid it. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, in other words, I know we're learning all about carbonos, and you know, for us this is not yet halacha lemaisa, bim heira biyamenu, but small things in our lives where we see this play out. Mizmor Latoda, right? A small paragraph that's found in Pesukah de Zimra. So on Erev Pesach we don't say it, right? Why? It's for the reasons that we just learned over yesterday and today. Because the carbon toda, including the carbon toda, is 10 loaves of chametz bread. And so what happens is that if on Erev Pesach, let's say you want to bring a carbon toda, so right, first of all, the Kohanim are going to look at you and say, "Look, today's really busy. maybe consider coming back another day. But okay, that's a pragmatic issue. But from a halachic standpoint, the Kohanim are also going to say to you, wait 1 second. In other words, by carbon toda, so you had an allowance to eat it for a full day and the night following. You know tonight's Pesach. You know tonight you're not allowed to eat the 10 loaves that are chametz. So already today, after midday, you're not allowed to eat the chametz. So in other words, if you bring it today, that's going to be reducing the amount of time that you can eat it. So the Kohanim are going to say to him, no. In other words, you can't bring it today. You'll come after Pesach. You bring it after Pesach. So in other words, from our daily living, at least now you know that on Erev Pesach, we don't say the paragraph of Mizmor LaSoda. We don't say the paragraph because Sfarim do say it. Oh, Matt, wow, did that just confuse me. You just threw a curveball at me.
Sfarim don't hold by that
concept. Ke'ilu. Ke'ilu. Okay, fine. Okay. Anyway, that's the... Now I'll say...
It also on Friday night.
Okay, fine. So I'll just simply say it's Minhag Ashkenaz. Okay, fine. Okay, great. So at best, I was only able to speak to the Ashkenazi community. Okay, but still. No. Okay, fine. Okay, Evari Chatzosh and Esarv Be'evari Ola. So now we have limbs. Okay, so I shechted a whole bunch of karbanos in the base of Mikdash, and now the limbs of a karban chatzos get mixed together with the limbs of a karban ola. And so now we have a problem. Right? Like all the Mishnayos and all the cases in the Mishnayos here in the eighth parak of the Masechta. And so now we know the limbs of a carbon chatzis should have been given to the Kohanim in order for them to consume it. Zichri Kohuna, the male Kohanim, are going to be eating the limbs of the chatzis in the Azara. But it got now mixed together with the limbs of a carbonola. Limbs of a carbonola to be brought up onto the top of the Mizbech and burnt on the top of the Mizbech. So here for sure what we're not going to do is we're not going to just simply take all these limbs and say, oh, give it to the Kohanim and say, look, Russian roulette. Okay, you just, eat from these limbs. You know, some of them are good and some of them are not good. Yeah, okay. Right. Correct. All right. So that's for sure we're not going to do. But the other suggestion, which the Gemara is going to entertain, the Mishnah is going to entertain, is why don't we take all these limbs and just simply burn on the top of the Mizbech? Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Yitin Lamala, V'ruani es basar chatzos milamala ki Elohein eitzim. So Rabbi Eliezer says, now I know we heard this already, but this is the Mishnah. This is it. Rabbi Eliezer says that we'll take all the limbs, we'll put up onto the top of the Mizbech. The Ola limbs, perfect. That's exactly what you're supposed to be doing. The Chatzos limbs, just have the Kohen say, as if the Chatzos limbs right now are basically like fuel to the fire. In other words, to be treated like fuel. Right, correct. I understood. The Chachamim Omrim to Ubartzer or some Yatzel Beis HaShrefa, the Chachamim say no. They do not subscribe to such a solution. To Ubartzer or some literally means let its form rot and decay. That's a literal translation. Probably what the Mishnah means by that is let it stay overnight so that all of it becomes disqualified through Nosar, meaning and then what you're going to do is you're going to dispose of it. You'll take it out to the Beis HaShrefa, to where Karbanos that are disqualified are to be taken out, and you just simply you discard it. But in other words, you don't put it up onto the Mizbech.
There's no punishment from Nosar?
Meaning, no, you're creating Nosar over here simply because you want it to be formally disqualified, so that now you're burning something that's formally disqualified. The Gemara starts off the discussion, my time with the Rabbi Eliezer, what is the basis of Rabbi Eliezer's opinion? That you take everything, you put it on the Mizbech, and as far as the limbs of the Chatzos are concerned, eh. I don't really mean eh. It's more than eh. Treat it as if it's now fuel to the fire. So Amakras, so the Gemara says it's based on the following pasuk. Now the pasuk over here introduces us to the following prohibition. We cannot offer on the Mizbeach Seor and Devash. Seor is yeast, meaning bread that has the ability to ferment, right? What you and I would describe as chametz. And Devash. Devash is we translate it as honey, but it's really date honey. And really when you boil it down, It's dates. Those cannot go up onto the top of the Mizbech. Now, Hedy, I'll speak to you for just a moment. So this is the kind of thing where the Sefer Chinuch, I told you, in other words, if you want to see, Tamei HaMitzvos, if you want to see, things that we can learn from every one of the mitzvahs in the Torah and the verse in the Torah, so this is a good time to take a look at the Sefer Chinuch. Meaning the Sefer Chinuch, he does it for every mitzvah, but in other words, over here he's not at a loss because he's never at a loss. He gives a reason for every one of the mitzvahs in the Torah, but he struggles. He actually writes, and I don't have the Sefer Chinuch in front of me right now. Please forgive me. But in other words, he actually writes, I'll try to explain all the mitzvahs in the Torah and give some sort of tam, in other words, some sort of taste to the mitzvahs in the Torah. But over here, the Torah prohibits putting date and fermented flour on the Mizbech, right? Date and bread. I'll say it like that. Date and bread you can't put on the Mizbech. Why? Why is the Torah so particular about not putting that on the Mizbech? So see the Sefer Chinuch for explanations. The Torah says, Ve'el Mizbech lo yalo l'reich nichalach. The Torah says, don't put them on the Mizbech l'reich nichalach. Now you see that qualifier? Don't put them on the Mizbech l'reich nichalach. L'reich nichalach yatamala aval tamala l'shem eitzim. Meaning that if you're putting them on the Mizbech in order to produce a fragrant odor, meaning if you're putting them on the Mizbech in order to appease a Kadosh Baruch Hu, like a carbon, no, that you can't do. But if you're putting them on the Mizbech as just simply fuel, that's fine. Now you and I both know that bread doesn't burn that well and dates don't burn that well.
It's amazing. Basically, your kavana can change the reality right. of what the material is.
Correct. So that is Rabbi Eliezer and the way he understands the pasuk. V'rabbanan miyet rechmano osam, osam hu diyatamala, avalatamala, shem eitzim, avabin midiachrin alo. Now the Chachamim agree with the drasha, but the Chachamim cap off the drasha to the only two things that are mentioned in the pasuk. The only two things that are mentioned in the pasuk are bread and dates. All right, again, I say date, I mean date honey, but bread and dates. Meaning for those two items, but only those two items, can you do this maneuver of putting on the Mizbech, but not L'shem, Reich Nichalach. For anything else, you can't put it on the Mizbech at all. So in other words, basically, Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim agree that there is such a maneuver of putting something on the Mizbech, not L'Reich Nichalach. But what is that referring to? According to Rabbi Elazar, anything. I don't know if I really mean anything, but I'll say it. Anything. According to the Chachamim, no, only the Seor and the Devash that's mentioned in the Torah. Rabbi Eliezer, Osam alo l'shem etzim aval midiachrin alo. Rabbi Eliezer, Osam. Now the Gemara is going to go in its classic ping pong form of what is Rabbi Eliezer going to do with the pasuk of Osam? Who de Rabbi Lecha Kevish? Now, in other words, over there it comes to include even the ramp. Kimizbech. The ramp is going to be treated like the mizbech, meaning once placed on the ramp, it's ki'ilu, it's as if I put it onto the mizbech. Aval midiachrin alo, but that's not true regarding anything else. V'rabbanan tarti shmamina, and the Chachamim learn out both points, meaning the word osam is both exclusive to the mizbech, and it also speaks to the exclusivity of only seor and dvash to the exclusion of any other item. Okay, so what do we have right now that if I have the limbs of chatzos and all that get mixed up one with another, so the Mishnah brings down a debate between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. According to Rabbi Eliezer, what you could do is you could take it all, put it up onto the Mizbech, either limbs of the chatas, you say to yourself, it's ki'ilu, they are just simply fuel to the fire. And Rabbi Eliezer bases that on a drasha. The Chachamim agree to the drasha, but what they disagree is the application. According to the Chachamim, you can only do this maneuver with sword and dvash, you can't do it with anything else. Masnis and Deloki, Aitan, the Gemara points out that our Mishnah is not following like the following braisa. Aitan, the Gemara is now going to present a braisa, also the machlok is between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, but you'll see, obviously, that this braisa is not in alignment with our Mishnah. Am Rabbi Yehuda lo nechluku Rabbi Eliezer v'chachamim al eiver chatosh nisarva be'eivare ola, shi yikrevu. In other words, if limbs of chatos and ola get mixed together, we're all in agreement that you could put all of it onto the Mizbech, both Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Obviously, this is not in alignment with our Mishnah. But Rabbi v'nirva shalo yikrevu. If the limbs of a kosher carbon get mixed up with the limbs of an animal that was involved in bestiality, so that cannot, even as a mixture, that cannot be brought up onto the Mizbech, that, as the Gemara later on will describe, that is what's called ma'us, meaning it's so disgusting. So even as a mixture cannot be brought up onto the Mizbech. So, and the only debate is when the limbs of a kosher qualified carbon get mixed in with the limbs of an animal that was a blemished animal, physically blemished animal. Where there, Rabbi Elazar says, put it all up onto the Mizbech, and the Chachamim say, no, do not. Now, the Gemara asks the question, within the Braisa, within the thought process of the Braisa, how did you explain Rabbi Eliezer? If the mixture was between qualified animals and disqualified, and the disqualification is Rova Venirva, we said, even as a mixture, do not put that up on the Mizbech. But blemished and non-blemished, meaning blemished animals are disqualified. What's the difference between an animal that's blemished, where Rabbi Eliezer has a tolerance to put that on the Mizbech as a mixture, but if it's Rova Venirva, he has no tolerance? Maishna, the Gemara asks exactly this question. Rabbi Eliezer. Maishna Rova Nirva de lo chazu balas mum. Nami lo chazu. They're both not fit. Am Rav Huna bedukin sheba'ayin va'aliba de Rabbi Kiva da'amim alu lo yardu. So the Gemara says over here, we're not talking about any physical blemish. We're talking about the lighter physical blemishes. Meaning vis-a-vis physical blemishes of a carbon, there are two categories. Now, I call them categories, even though in category number two, I can only give you one example. So it may not, just disclaimer, it may not be a category, just simply maybe one example. But in any event, in other words, there are physical blemishes that are just intolerable, period. And there are physical blemishes that are lighter, minor, and therefore shouldn't go up onto the Mizbech, but the Mizbech does have a tolerance for it. The example that the Gemara always gives in the second category is Dukin Shebaayin, which I guess we would describe as a cataract. In other words, the cloudiness of the lens of the eye. Cataracts. So, B'dukin Shebaayin V'liba D'Rabbi Akiva D'Amrim Alu Lo Yardu. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion, we're going to hear this again and again throughout our Masechta, that if I have an animal with this minor blemish, I shouldn't bring it up onto the Mizbech, but once placed on the Mizbech, it can remain there. The Gemara asked the question, Eim Adam Rabbi Akiva D'i Avad, or what we would describe as B'dievet. But L'chadchila Mi'amar, look, Rabbi Akiva does have tolerance, but only from a B'dievet standpoint. Not L'chadchila, Amra Papa Hachem B'mayiskin, K'gon She'alu Agabe Kevesh. The Gemara says, well, it already was introduced to the ramp. So the Gemara says, really, Achefila Be'inayu. So the Gemara says, well, if it already went up onto the ramp, as we discussed earlier this morning, the ramp has certain qualities as the Mizbech itself. And so therefore, even if it's not mixed together with other carbonos, once I have an animal with this minor blemish, and it goes up onto the ramp, so it stays there. And not as a tarovis, even as just a limb in of itself. El atayma de Rabbi Elazar miyat rachmana mum bum. Hu dolo yiratsu ha ayide tarovis yiratsu. So the Gemara says, you're right. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's not based on any kind of logical deduction, but rather just simply based on the drasha. The Torah says that it has a blemish only when it is independent of any other karbanos. I cannot bring up to the Mizbech, but as a ta'arovitz, I can bring up to the Mizbech. According to the Chachamim, the drasha is just telling me that permanent blemishes cannot go on to the Mizbech, but if it has a temporary blemish, meaning it's something where the prognosis is really good, and the animal will recover from such a physical blemish. So then, while it has a blemish, it shouldn't be brought up, but if it's a mum over and it goes on to the Mizbech, it can remain on the Mizbech. Rabbi Elazar mi bam baham. Now Rabbi Elazar counters with the word bam and the word baham, meaning he darshins both. V'rabbanan bam baham lo darshi, and the Chachamim just simply don't allow for that double drasha. Ihachi roeh harachman achsharei. So the Gemara says, okay, but if you go back to the Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer and the Braisa said, we're going to view it as if. What do you mean we're viewing it as if? That's not really the reason behind Rabbi Eliezer. The reason behind Rabbi Eliezer is it's a drasha. He allows for certain blemished animals to be put up onto the Mizbech. So the Gemara says, L'divreim kamer lehu. So the Gemara says, when Rabbi Eliezer was invoking the argument, he wasn't espousing his own opinion. Lididi, according to me, the Rachman Achsharei, look, I just feel that the Torah permits it, period. But however, Lididchu, but according to you, Odoli Mia, but at least you should agree, but Basar Ba'olas, Basar Ba'olas Mum, Ke'etzim Dami, Mide Dehavar Basar Chatas, meaning, don't you, in other words, I know you agree with me that limbs of Ola and Chatas get mixed together. They all go up onto the Mizbech. Now again, just cautionary note, we're not describing the Mishnah right now. According to the Mishnah, the Chacham don't even agree with that. But within the Braisa that we quoted on today's Amud Aleph, within the Braisa that we quoted, the Chachamim do agree that limbs of Ol and Chattas get mixed together can go up onto the Mizbech. And why? Because we'll treat the Chattas like wood, like fuel. So Rabbi Eliezer says, once you agreed with me on that position, so can't you at least now give me that if carbon of blemished and non-blemished get mixed together, let's do the same maneuver. V'rabbanan, and the rabbi's counter-argument to that is hacham e'isi, hacham lo me'isi. And the chacham's counter-argument is, no, of course I'm not going to give you that. Because in one case it's ma'us, it's disgusting, in the other case it's not disgusting. Meaning a physical blemish is legabe the mizbech, vis-a-vis the mizbech, it's disgusting. And so therefore, even as a tarovis, I'm not going to endorse putting it up onto the mizbech. Quickly, what I'd like to do now is I'm just going to run through the next mishnah in Gemara. The next mishnah, we heard it already earlier. We'll get to hear it again. Eivarim be'eivarim ba'alei mumim. Limbs that get mixed together with limbs of a carbon that was blemished. Now, why was the animal shechted? And why, I don't know. Of course. The animal that is a bamum, a physically blemished animal, that animal should not have been shechted at all. Okay, but we're here now. In other words, so the limbs of a kosher carbon get mixed up with the limbs of an animal that's a bamum. Rebbe Elazar Omer, im karav rosh echad mehem yikrivu kol haroshim, karayim shel echad mehem yikrivu kol hakarayim. Now, according to Rabbi Eliezer, this should sound familiar. We did this about 3 days ago in the daf. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you bring them up if one is already brought up. So we have the concept that we saw 3 days ago, 4 days ago, which is Taliyah. So then we could say, and I know statistically it's not a strong argument, but you could say that the one limb that went up was already the one that was the blemished one, and therefore you could bring up the remaining. The Chachamim say, no. If I know that a blemished animal, the limb of a blemished animal got mixed up over here, all of them are to be discarded, all of them are to be disposed of. You cannot bring up one. Now remember, again, I'll say this really quickly, but remember that what we described earlier is that, look, we have a mixture over here. The blemished animal is a minority. Really, there should be bittul, but the Chachamim blocked bittul. And so, but in other words, we're already at the point where bittul could have occurred. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says that we are going to allow ourselves to a particular leniency, which is that if one of the limbs was already taken up to the Mizbeach, so then we can make the argument, weak as it is, we can make the argument that that was a limb that belonged to the blemished animal. Remember, again, this is already at a point where bittul could have occurred in the Chachamim block bittul. So we're really at the point in the discussion of where we're looking at bittul blockage. So if one of the limbs go up, so then we can make the argument that the other limbs are fine. Amar Rebbe Elazar lo hechshiru Rebbe Eliezer, not to be confused, the first Rebbe Elazar is the Amora, the second one is the Tan of our Mishnah. Amar Rebbe Elazar lo hechshiru Rebbe Eliezer lo shnayim shnayim. We saw this earlier as well. When I bring the limbs up to the Mizbeach, even according to the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer, even after one limb is already brought up, I can only bring them up two at a time. Aval echad echad lo, but I cannot bring them up one at a time. Now, why can I bring it up two at a time? So Rashi over here says, and Rashi said it back 4 days ago as well. Well, because if I bring it up two at a time, at least now I can even make a more somewhat compelling argument. It's not compelling, but it's somewhat of a stronger argument. Look, I only know that one of the limbs is a blemished animal. So when I bring it up two at a time, again, there are 3 points over here. I'll make them all in succession. One, bittul really already occurred because it was only one blemished animal gets mixed up with a lot of other animals. But again, the Chachamim block bittul. Two is that one of the limbs already was brought up in the Mizbech and that could have been the blemished limb. And now three, that I'm bringing it up two at a time. So now I know for sure that one of the limbs for sure is acceptable. So, Mesav Rav Yirmiyahu v'Chacham Amar Afilu Karav Kulan Chutz Me'echad Mehem Yatzel Beis HaSreifa. So, you bring it up two at a time. I read the Mishnah, I don't get that impression. Because look at the Chachamim's point of dispute. Even if there was only one limb left, you're going to discard it. Now, one limb left, aren't you bringing it up two at a time? So, the Gemara says that that's not such a strong argument. Amalo Rav Yirmiyahu Bar Tachlifa Azbrocha mai echad zug echad. No, the Mishnah, when the Chachamim said one, it just simply mean a pair. A pair. That's what the Mishnah meant. But in other words, in of itself, that's not that doesn't dispute the Rebbe Elazar's understanding of Rebbe Eliezer of our Mishnah.